listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are, like I said many times, guys, we are viewer-supported stations that we're not getting funding anywhere but through the support of the viewers. And if you like what we're doing, please throw a couple dollars in the kitties. I know the owners of the station would much appreciate any help they can get, even in these kind of tough times we're in right now. Before I let the Duracell Bunny, I'm joined by Roger Landry here today. Before I let Mr. Landry go here, just one quick thought with you guys that, you know, anger is a normal human emotion. And right now, what we see happening in society is levels of anger that I have never in my life seen before. And one of the things I want to talk with Roger today is how this is being used against us and where it's coming from and what the end game is. I know Roger's got lots to say. I always love my conversations with the man. Thanks for joining me today, Roger. And what do you think about the situation we find ourselves in at this particular time? I think we talked about this actually about 3 years ago, didn't we? I think it was about 3 years ago. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Jade Helm and all kinds of things. We were talking about, you know, actual, you know, concentration camps, basically, and all of the things that were, you know, us conspiracy theorists were talking about. Look, you started this off by introducing me with a question saying, so what do you think about this, Roger? Okay, if this is now a 24-hour show with no commercials, I'll tackle that. But since it's not, and I would allow you as the host, I would really, really want you as the host to be able to say more than two words, which is something you asked me specifically before we started.
Well, it would be appreciated, but we'll see where it goes here.
The whole thing here is anybody who believes that COVID-19 was going to destroy the world is an idiot. Okay, the thing here is anybody who believes that 5G is good for you is an idiot. The people here who believe there is no connection between 5G and the COVID-19 experience, because it wasn't the pandemic, on the scale of last year's. It didn't even equal last year's, and we didn't do any of this, okay? We didn't shut the world down. We didn't do anything along these lines. What we all need to understand is, and Barry, you and I have had this discussion before, the only reason we're going through this at this point in time is because global warming failed miserably. It was supposed to get us to this point where we had global governance, where basically the Green New Deal, which is being laughed at by most Americans, actually most people across the planet, okay, because you got to get rid of all the cows, all the planes. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. All of this, you put it all together, and you got to realize we're looking at a global shift in many things, in politics, in supply routes, which means economics, in whether or not we have jobs anymore with 30 million Americans. And I'm just going to speak about America at this point because I don't know what the figure is in Canada, but it can't be a hell of a lot better. And all of this is being done on a pretext. All of this is being done on a model that when it was originally set up said there would be hundreds of thousands of deaths in America. Okay, that it would literally wreak havoc and a sort of millions of deaths across the planet. And everybody freaked out and they shut the world down. And what we found out was last year, even the CDC said that the flu deaths in America alone exceeded 80,000. Okay, the reality is it well exceeded 100,000. I'm not belittling anybody dying, and you've all heard me say this before, but we've had approximately 60,000 COVID-19 deaths, which is an absolute lie. But even if that was true, what I'm telling you is it's still 40,000 shy of where we were last year in what was truly a pandemic, but nobody ever said a word about it. All of these things come together in a situation where you have been trained real good. You really have. When your governors told you to get into your houses, you did. When they told you that you needed to do this, this, and this, you did. When they told you that you couldn't go to church, and they even went and arrested people who were at church in their cars, listening to it, perfect social distancing, the whole nine yards. You get arrested for going to church in sitting in a parking lot in your car, but yet you can go to Walmart or a liquor store and stand 2 feet away from somebody and pay for it at the counter. Everybody needs to understand. I've talked about mortality. It is a hell of a lot lower than what anybody thinks. The actual death toll in this country, about 60,000. The actual death toll is probably between 10 and 15,000. The test kits that are being used, in one case, a whole bunch of them were returned from the UK because they were, guess what? Guess what they had in them, Barry?
Oh, yeah, I heard all about that.
Roger. They had the COVID-19 in them.
Of course, and where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? Oh, okay. You'll never guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but, and the UK said, hell with you, and turned them back. Not only that, but the coronavirus test for the coronavirus.
Coronavirus
is just a wide spectrum of a bunch of different viruses. They're called coronaviruses. This is what this test for. So over 80%, as much as 90% of the positives on these tests were false positives. So let's do some math, okay? If we're talking about 60,000 deaths, but as much as 90% of that is a false positive, yeah, we shut the damn world down for this. Are you listening to me? So people are getting pissed. They're getting pissed in Canada. They're getting pissed in the United States. They're going to the Capitol. They're taking their guns with them because they can legally do that. They're saying we are the most well-armed populace on the planet. Americans have more private guns than any two armies combined on the planet. So what we're saying is we listened when you scared the crap out of us because we didn't know any better. But now because of shows like Barry's and the Liberty Beacon Project giving us actual information, we don't trust you anymore. And damn it, you better open this economy up. And that's where we're sitting today. That's the synopsis, Barry. Because you wanted a quick answer.
Well, there's incredible information war going on right now, Roger. Anything coming out contrary to the agenda and the mainstream propaganda that's coming out is being censored. I'm putting up links from doctors that are actually putting out hardcore facts. And then when people actually see this and they comprehend the information, they'll understand just how badly we are being taken as a society by the biggest scam ever played on us. But it really, really underlines and exposes the power of the mainstream media. Also shows us just how well society has been programmed, Roger, to accept what the government says. Let me just finish by saying, when you control the media, you really control the public. You know, we've seen examples of that all through history. In 1935, by 1935, Hitler controlled all the media in Germany. And, of course, between 35 and 39, all they got was propaganda. But we see the exact same duplicate happening in our society. And what this virus, it showed them just how bad, how much of a reaction they can get by out of society simply by using the power of the media. Without people, they know people aren't going to go and look up the information themselves. That a lot of Canadians go home at night, turn on CBC, drink that Kool-Aid, and go to bed believing that what they're seeing is being put out as the truth, blah, blah, blah. And this incident right here in Canada that's happened here on Friday, Roger, I'll tell you, my friend, I think the government has really shot themselves in the foot up here.
Yep.
I know you're aware of what happened. And I'll tell you, right now we have a lot of pissed off Canadians, period.
Major
awakening.
You talked about media, and the thing of it is we have to just backtrack just a little bit because the media is a key player here, an absolute key player, all right? And when you said the controlled media, that is something most people, they don't take that leap of faith. It's not the media doing this. It is the media doing this, but it's not the media doing this. It's who owns the damn media. And there's a few very powerful elitists that own all the media that counts. They instantly become their puppets. That's not a joke. That's not even an exaggeration. Go look up who owns the six biggest media companies in the world. Who owns them? And then come back and let's finish this conversation. Just kidding. The point here is, it is the media, and we never would have had people locking themselves in their homes across the entire planet if the media hadn't been there to beat into their head over and over again. I started to allude to this a little earlier. I need to now. Okay, they were predictive models that people like Fauci used, okay, to sell the panic. Predictive models that showed hundreds of thousands of deaths across the United States and Canada, maybe even approaching a million, with millions upon millions infected, a swath of death across the planet. This is what these computer predictive models showed. But of course, Fauci, who sponsors all this crap, works for guess who? He works with the WHO. He's practically married to them. And he works with Big Pharma, big time. All right, who stands to make big money off of this? Who stands to make billions upon billions upon billions of dollars with zero liability? Because for all you who were sleeping, while you were sleeping, Gates got enough people upset at Big Pharma that they pulled strings in Congress and in the United States. Anybody who dies or has an adverse reaction to whatever vaccine they're going to tell you you have to take, all right, they will suffer zero liability, none. So look at all of this happening. Why did any of this happen? Because the media started it, because the media convinced you, because every time you turned it on, they said death, 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 death. And now we're looking at it, realizing it doesn't even have anywhere near the knockdown power of what happened last year. And none of this happened last year. We're starting to scream foul. We're starting to say we were at the hospitals. You were telling us we're overflowing with the tents outside. Nobody was in the tents. There were less than six people in the emergency room. Nobody was dying. And you guys are laying off nurses and doctors because there's nothing for them to do. Meanwhile, the media is telling everybody, including you and me, that you're probably going to die if you go outside.
Yeah, I know, Roger. I know. It's unbelievable. What you're talking about hospitals, buddy, I'm getting the same reports from people in Ontario, all over Manitoba, British Columbia. They're all saying the exact same thing. We've got to get this charade exposed to the public. All I'm saying, what I was saying about the power of the mainstream, Roger, it blows me away. It really does. How much control they have on society, okay? And what you alluded to is absolutely correct, that unless people can start to realize that the mainstream media, we can get them away from that programming of what they've been taught since they were knee-high to a grasshopper, that programming is all wrong, that what you're being taught and shown is against you, it's not real. get them to look other places, we can maybe turn the tide on this. But still, so many people go to mainstream for their source of information. And this fear virus is the only one that we really should be paying attention to right now. Because this COVID is just absolute a farce, Roger. It's the biggest farce that I've ever seen. And I'm not a smart guy. I looked into it a little bit, and you can see exactly what they're doing. World Health Organization was the one that yelled worldwide pandemic 3 days after it came to the media's attention. And the whole world shut down.
Well, that's part of the reason why you see Trump kind of distance himself from Fauci is simply because the predictive model was so overblown. It's insane. Now, what you have is a setup right now for a massive amount of money going into Big Pharma if we allow this to happen. If we allow them to scare us into our homes, and this is why you're starting to see these protests everywhere, scare us into locking ourselves away in our homes, watching our lives go away. And by the way, the actual deaths from doing that would probably exceed the deaths from COVID-19. So we're doing all of this. We're watching the entire thing fail, and nobody was doing anything. But let me explain something you said, Barry, because it's extremely true. Why is this being done? Why were we being scared literally half to death? Why? Who's making the money? Well, let me explain. If a hospital has a normal death, I think it's like $5,000 they get from insurance. If it's a flu death or a COVID-19 death, I think it's $20,000 they get. If the individual who died was on a ventilator, they get $36,000. It is being said all across the internet that funeral homes are hearing the stories over and over and over again from their patrons. My husband, my daughter, my son, my whatever didn't die from COVID-19. I don't know why that's on the record. Why? Yep. Because the hospital, instead of getting $5,000, got $39,000. And this is happening across the country. And what is it doing? It's padding the numbers to the point where they're getting rich. But at the same time, it's giving the fuel to these elitists to say, see how bad this is? But the bad thing about all of it is, even with their padded numbers of 60,000, and we know it's probably under 20, but the padded number of 60,000 still doesn't come close to the probably over 100,000 that died last year. Barry, it doesn't matter which way you approach this from, all of it leads to bull crap.
Well, that's putting
it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, that's putting it mildly, Roger. Really, like, you know, what we're seeing right now is chaos in society, okay? I mean, we know that if I have read the Communist Manifesto, I'm not a reader, but I made myself read that because I really wanted to understand exactly what's going on in our society today. And if you read the Communist Manifesto, you will understand what's going on here, folks, that this is a charade that is designed. It has two or three purposes. The main purpose, I believe, is to test society. They wanted to find out how well they could get society to climb into their houses and into their holes simply by bringing forth fear factor in society. When, like you said, Roger, when they control the media, they can unleash that fear factor and that fear virus anytime they want. And then you've got, like I said, you've got the World Health Organization, who a lot of people actually believe is a good organization. But if they look into it, they find out it's run by the Communist Party of China, and that the director, Dr. Theos, whatever his name is, you know, isn't actually hold a doctor's certificate anywhere on the planet Earth. And he was appointed to direct the World Health Organization by the Chinese. Oh, and where'd this virus come from? Who's bringing us 5G? Nothing to see there, Roger, at all. There's no connection. It's all a coincidence. If you think you're a conspiracy nut, Roger, if you think that these things are actually connected, that the Chinese aren't our friends, they love us, They don't want anything wrong to happen to us. Well, where did the fentanyl come from, Roger?
Wait,
I want a couple more questions for you. Go ahead.
You're getting more like me every week.
Just round up, Roger. I am so sick of this crap, okay? I'm so sick of apathetic people that can't see the danger that's in front of their faces right now. They can't get off their butts. I love my children, Roger. I love people. And I see what's coming for my kids, and it tears me to pieces, buddy. And if it doesn't tear you to pieces, folks, I don't know what to say to you. Go ahead.
Why don't some of
you... I'm wound up today, Roger. I'll take a breath.
We're brothers from different mothers. Okay. I got yes. it. Okay. Well, I can't say that anything that you just said is wrong. All right. It the World Health Organization is one of the most corrupt organizations on the planet. All right. The CDC, which is right up there when anybody on the planet talks about health issues, it's WHO, CDC, FDA, and other countries which have appropriate or, you know, but if you take a look at what all of these people were saying, what all of these people were selling, what all of these people who have firm attachments, okay, to Big Pharma were all saying was that you need to hide in your home, even if it's another year until a vaccine is produced. Here's the next step of this conversation, people. A vaccine for a virus like this that mutates constantly is physically impossible. Why do you think the flu vaccine doesn't work? The CDC has had to come out year after year and tell you it's probably not going to work. There's like 150 different kinds of flu. The flu shot you get is a gamble for the – they try to figure out the 10 to 12 possible strains of flu you can get, and that's what's in the shot. So here you go. The vaccine to start off with won't work, but it's an easy way to tag you, isn't it? And it's another easy way for them to find out how much of the population is going to do this when they're told to do this. Mm-hmm. This, when you said this is a this is a dry run, I said on the very first show that you and I discussed this topic, I said I was told this is going to hit hard. It's going to disappear almost as fast as it came in. And then a few years down the road, it's going to come in big time because they will know the reactions ahead of time.
Exactly. Well, they tested us. They've seen how we reacted. They got the reaction they wanted to see. And whether it's a couple years down the road or in the very near future, once they've got that power over society, Roger, do you think they're not going to come and bring it in? I mean, they've got an agenda. And they see how society reacted to this. And now society's going to finally find out possibly that it is a scam. How's that going to affect society going forward? Are we going to see the kind of response that we should get out of society? Or is everybody just continue to take it and go about their lives? That's a million dollar question.
Believe it or not, that pretty much depends on what the elites will allow to happen. And for anybody who goes, aw, when I say something like that, what you need to understand is these are the few people that have been controlling this entire planet for the last 300 to 400 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, not 50 years, not even a century, like 3 to 4 of them. OK, these people, they pretty much decide what happens with humanity. For anybody out there who doesn't know, the biggest, baddest bully on the block, America, hasn't been a country, hasn't been a nation, hasn't been a union since 1871. We're a corporation that's owned by foreign investors. Mm-hmm. Again, how many people out there know that? When we get screwed over and over again as a population and we shake our fists and say, you're doing something wrong, they're all sitting in their offices going, no, we're not. You just don't know that. And this is the epitome of all of this. It's coming to a head right now. What Barry alluded to is an absolute fact. We need to step up to the plate right now, because if we wimpishly allow this to go away and we happily accept our return to normalcy or some, we're never going to get everything back from this, some level of normalcy, enough for us to be happy and content. If we do that, the next time it will be faster, it will be harder, and it will be 10 times more deadly. If so you, if, well, one more point. One more point. Okay, this finishes it all off. I would like everybody out there, please do this, to go and look at a map for the cities across the planet that have a 5G build-out complete. Then I want you to superimpose over that a map showing the hardest hit COVID-19 spots on the planet. Oh, my God! Guess what you're going to find?
They mash. How did that happen?
Because 5G exacerbates what is normally a pretty low-key, mild flu.
Yeah. Well, has that got anything to do maybe with the amount of metals that are in our body? Nothing to do with that.
You and I did a show on this. It's the aluminum. We suck in every day. Yeah. Okay. Get me started. Okay, the aluminum in coming down from the sky, the aluminum in the water, the aluminum in the food, the aluminum in the baby formula, the aluminum in the underarm deodorant.
Everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. They got it coming at you. But that's great stuff, man. I mean, it's, you know what? So we got a little bit more Alzheimer's. You know what? It's the old people. They've got to get rid of them guys anyways. You know, Roger? I mean, they're just a drain on our society. That's what the government's telling me is that when you get to be my age, you're just a drain. So we got to go, man. I mean, we've done our youthful tax-paying bases, and, you know, we're kind of a drain on society. You and me both. We're both the same age, aren't we? You're 65. Holy smokes, you're old, Roger.
What's the carrier wave frequency of 5G? What's
the carrier wave frequency? It is crazy. 5G is insane. It's insane. But I have something else I wanted to talk about. Now I forgot.
What's the carrier wave?
You do that to me all the time.
What's the carrier wave frequency of microwave? What's the carrier wave frequency of 5G? I can tell you probably the most common would be right around 56 to 60 gigahertz. Okay.
Right.
That okay. And does everybody out there know that all the way up to 4G, it was an expanding wave? 4G was an expanding wave. The further you got from the antenna, the bigger it got. Did you know that 5G is pretty much a pulsed beam? So now you've got a pulse beam at actual microwave frequencies, and you've got a million antennas, could be as many as 3 million, scattered across the planet. I'm going to tell you two things. Please check on them. I never lie. I don't exaggerate. With that many antennas, you can make what's called a phased array. And using that phased array, you can make a steerable beam. Now, you just were told that this COVID-19 is the perfect reason to get a vast majority of the population chipped through a vaccine. All right? Like Barry was telling you, your body, especially your brain, is full of aluminum. I just got done telling you that with 5G, you can make a steerable beam. Of course, it's probably going to be in one of the cities because you can't, there aren't that big a concentration of antennas out in the country. But in the cities is where most of your targets would be. So what happens if you're a bad boy and they have your chip number and they can literally focus a microwave beam on your head, which has a high concentration of nano-sized particles of aluminum? When's the last time you took a knife, fork, spoon, I don't give a crap what it is, thrown it in the microwave, closed the door and turned it on? All hell broke loose, didn't it? Amen. So this is what happens in your brain, only these are nano-sized particles of aluminum, but there's a lot of them. So then what they're doing is they're heating up their surroundings, all right? And also blood is extremely good at converting microwave energy to heat energy. Look that up. That's a fact. So now you've got a beam focused on your head. It raises the temperature of your brain by about 5 or 6 degrees, just past the point where the brain shuts down. The brain shuts down. They see you drop like a rock. They shut off the beam. Within 5 to 6 minutes or less, your brain is back to normal temperature. There isn't a damn clue. There is no proof. There is no footprint left behind. But you've been chipped. But There is 5G, but it is a steerable beam. But everything I've just told you is 100% here today. Is the scenario exactly as I'm telling you? I haven't got a clue. But I worked technology for 30 years. I know this. I know the capability, and I know it exists. What we have right now, if they finish the 5G build-out and you all get that chipped vaccine, what they will have is 1984. Here we are. This society will be controlled beyond belief. If you step out of line, they can drop you right where you stand.
That blows my mind, that technology, but I know that exists, Roger. And that's just what we know about right now.
I worked for the military for 30 years.
I know you did. I know you did, Roger. And I know you have a good access to information, and that's why I like having you on. But, you know, we've said many times on your show, this is what we know about right now, that the technology they have that we know about. Well, what do they have that we don't know, Roger? hologram technology. You notice that all of a sudden the mainstream media is talking to us, and the government's almost coming out and telling us that they're communicating with aliens. We didn't really want to tell you guys this. But, there's something going on out there. So, and you hear these rumors and you hear these murmurs everywhere. Well, what are they doing, Roger? They're conditioning us. And you know, hologram technology is very advanced. And what they actually have, what they can actually do to what we know about, I'm not sure, but I know it's pretty
far. I can tell you.
So how are they going to play that one out? What a great deception, eh? A couple spaceships showing up everywhere?
I can tell you that when I was working for the military-industrial complex, that the difference technologically, and this accelerates as technology becomes much, much, much higher level, okay? But if you take a look at the technology that I was dealing with back then, some of that is just hitting the market today. It could be as much as a generation before some technologies leave their hands and come into our hands. And the only reason we would ever get it in the first place is if something was developed that made it inferior or could defeat it. At that point, this becomes something. So, yes, we're talking about technology that's at probably 20 to 30 and maybe even 50 years ahead of what we know about, but not what we can guess about or what we can figure on. And I'm going to tell you something else, okay? And nobody's ever heard me talk about this. I don't talk about this because I don't want to cheapen what I say. I don't feel I am, but there'll be others out there who will. Anybody who for one second understands that space and the universe are absolutely not only infinite in all directions, but in size, both up and down. All right. So if you consider the truly infinity built into the universe, to say that there is not intelligent life other than us in this universe is the most arrogant thing I would say has ever been said in this universe.
I have to agree with you, Roger. That somewhere out there.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And, you know, I figure, you know, buddy, just because we don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I can't, even being a man of faith, I can't say whether there's another race out there because it's never been talked to me about. You know, but to say that there isn't more intelligent life in the galaxies, man, when you think about infinity, Roger, and that's something that, you know, I don't even think about that kind of stuff because it just, the circuits in my brain start to fizzle, you know. We don't have the brain power to comprehend what infinity is. How do you explain something that has no beginning, has no end, goes on forever and ever and ever into trillions and trillions and billions and quadrillions of light years away from our planet, and they still can't even begin to see the end of the beginning? How do you explain that to the human mind? We don't have the ability to comprehend that. But that being said, go ahead. But that being said,
if you consider, with that being said, okay, anybody see, go to the internet and look up a picture of an atom. What does an atom look like? My God, an atom looks a whole hell of a lot like a solar system. So What are we made up of? We're made up of atoms. And when you get down to the atomic level, the distance between them is basically huge, just like in an actual solar system. And what do a bunch of atoms or solar systems make up? Gee, they make up a molecule or a galaxy. What I'm trying to say is the build that we look at, that we consider to be normal, not only works for us, but it shows us that this could be infinitely smaller. And if we are in this solar system, but an atom in an infinitely larger universe. So it is not just how far can I travel in a spaceship. It's how many levels up can I go? How many levels down can I go? It's infinity in every direction, in every concept. And you're right, Barry, the human mind is not built to understand anything like that. We're just not. Everything needs to be finite or we can't deal with it. Or we have to worship it. Or we have to worship it.
Exactly. So like I said, I don't dwell on that because my brain can't comprehend that. So I try to stick to stuff that my brain can comprehend, you know, simple stuff.
It's not COVID-19 related. I'll give you.
Yeah, well, common sense kind of approach to things is what I look at. You know, I try and look at everything with a common sense approach, and I don't see much common sense in my world anymore. I see insanity on this planet right now, and it seems to be accelerating. But then, you know, Communist Manifesto. I get back to that. One of the main programs in that is, of course, social discourse, and we see that now in society like I have never seen before, Roger. These guys are masters at divisions. It doesn't look like a division, you know, on the surface, but it is. And they bombarded us with how many can we talk about in an hour? You know, we could go on forever talking about divisions that they have put into our society to get us to where we are right now, a divided society.
That's because they're baiting us. They're baiting us constantly, okay? They're throwing things as soon as they see that there may be something happening where, I don't know, a lessening of tension between two groups. They bait one or the other, and they're masters at it. Now, mm-hmm. What does that make them?
Psychopaths.
Oh, masturbators. Oh, my God. Come on. But anyway... Okay. The truth here is, if you stop to consider for more than a half a second, all right, that everything you're being told is the truth, but it's not being told to you with a background that supports the truth, okay? These people aren't lying to you when they say millions are going to die. Where they're stretching the truth a little bit is that millions are going to die from COVID-19. I would tell you that if you kept a lockdown as long as Bill Gates wanted it for, and he wanted it until the vaccine was available, which they're saying may not have been available for at least another year or may not be available for at least another year. If you stop to consider that, there are already researchers stepping up to say at that point, the number of people who will have died from other reasons, non-COVID-19 related, but related to this particular happening will far exceed any deaths from COVID-19. When do we who are being affected by this, when do we whose lives are being totally destroyed by this say, you know what, that ain't happening? That just ain't happening. Well, you're starting to see it. And I smile a little bit broader every single day. And when anybody asks me, well, what about if there's violence? Let me ask you a question, all right? If you continue to impede 100,000, or if you're a governor, 15, 20, 30, 50 million people, if you continue to destroy their lives on lies, knowing that COVID-19 isn't even anywhere near as strong as last year's flu. If you know all of these things and you continue to do this, then in America, there's called the point of no return. She's probably going to wish she wasn't governor.
Yeah, well, we see.
And that's happening all across the country.
those what I've seen in the last couple of days in the States with these armed protests, Roger has brought has inspired me that people are at that point. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that in Canada because we're not allowed to walk outside with our guns, and they're taking all our guns away anyways. It's unbelievable what they're doing up here. But that was encouraging, and it's what we need. There comes a time in history, Roger, that civil disobedience is the order of the day, that we all got to learn a word, and that word is no. Simple. If we don't stand up to this, Roger, if we don't stand up to it, buddy, you know what's coming. I was going to say, real quick, give me a scenario. If we don't stop this right now, didn't continue on, let's say 5 years down the road, why don't you run through, say, a daily routine of somebody 5 years down the road from now, if we don't stop this going on today? I'm going to pick your brain a little bit. Give me a quick scenario of a normal eight-hour day. I'm making you think, aren't I?
No, actually.
Okay, you got up in the morning, and what happens? You turn on your camera so they can see you're there, and take it from there.
Well, again, I don't see it the way you see it, okay? I really don't, because what I see is a global pushback, a massive global pushback. What I see is states trying to secede from the union. What I see is provinces trying to secede from Canada. What I see is, and there are militias all across the United States. What I see, already am seeing, are militias being called up. What I see going on is altogether different. But with everybody out there going, let's stand up for our rights, let's make this happen, and I totally agree with you. But you all need to understand one other thing, okay? We need to play this card exactly right, because if we don't, we will give the go card. And this is the answer to your question, Barry. We will give the government the go card, and if they've got to get Trump out of the way to make it happen, they will. Martial law will be declared. The UN and U.S. troops will be in the streets of not only the United States, but like countries, like troops, and the UN, believe me, okay? Oh, and this will happen globally. At that point, it will never go back to the way it was. They'll pull back a little bit to say, see, okay, we're listening to you, okay? But what will have happened is finally they got to establish a global governance. This is what's going to happen if we do this wrong. If we just start shooting at the hip and going in and start killing people, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to seal our own doom. We are.
I absolutely agree with you.
But if we play it, but I'm going to tell you something that's going to hurt everybody. But it's the truth. Okay, if we stand our ground as we are in each of our countries by our laws and constitutions, if we stand our ground and they pull the trigger first, then even history will be on our side and the game will be over.
Yeah, we're in very, very interesting times, Roger, to say the least. And it could go either way.
100 million guns in American hands.
We can't lose.
Over 400 million, Roger.
What's that?
Over 400 million in America.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's been rumored to be as high as 500 million.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of guns anyways. But
yeah,
I wish we had them up.
Even the Chinese army, which is the biggest one on the freaking planet, I think, has only got something like 14 million guns, not 500 million.
Well, we've said it before. We've said it many times before, Roger, and I've expressed this thought many times, that if we go to an armed confrontation, we are going to lose. And, Roger, I'm only going to say that because I believe they have toys already in their little toolbox. Okay?
They do.
And I'm going to, you know where I'm going with this, that would make guns obsolete. And I hate to say that, because we want to be able to think that we can protect ourselves if the government does go tyrannical. But like you said 20 minutes ago in the show, that they have technology that's way ahead of what we know. We know they have directed energy weapons. We know they know how to calculate frequencies to absolutely destroy the human body. They have stuff that we don't even know about, folks. And I believe that. And I believe when the time comes that we want to go to an armed confrontation to government, they'll destroy us. I hate to say that, Roger. I really do. because I want to believe we're going to come out ahead. We can't go to armed confrontation. We've got to do this with the window of opportunity left right now where we get, unite our voices and stand up and say no, but do it peacefully, because we still have that window. But it's going to close real soon, I believe, my friend. I honestly believe that.
I don't disagree with you when you say that it all hell would break loose on humanity. I don't. I'm the one who just sat here and totally convinced everybody, because the science actually exists, the technology does, that they can drop anybody in their tracks. Once you've got your COVID-19 vaccine, they can drop you in your tracks anytime they want.
Yep. Okay. I believe they have almost that technology right now, even without
the COVID-19. It exists.
If they wanted to look at, buddy, you know, and I know nanotechnology, it blows my mind. It really does. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around nanotechnology, how small they can make something. And when they can make a radio transmitter, nanosized particle, and make it a radio transmitter. Well, you think about that, Roger. I mean, you look at these planes going over the top of your head every day, and they're spraying that stuff. And what's in that stuff? We don't know. If it's nanotechnology, we know there's aluminum, beryllium, strontium, what they tested, the potassium iodide, we know all that stuff's in there because they tested and found it. But what could they sneak in there that we don't know about if we have this kind of technology? Yeah, I don't even want to go there, Roger. It's like, out of here. I want to go to Mars.
Hold on, we have to. Because in Australia, they ran a pilot program where they went up about 10,000 feet with something akin to a crop duster plane, and they vaccinated an entire community. They sprayed a mist, and anybody in that community breathed it in. That was an experiment. So they vaccinated the entire community via aerial spraying.
That's what I was trying to say, Roger. This is beyond scary. When they have that technology and we see all the spraying that's going on, what are they actually putting in there that we don't know about? Sure, we talked about the ones they have tested, the alloys that are in there that we know about, but it's the ones that we don't know about that scares the heck out of me. We see them spraying in wintertime, you know, when you're trying to deflect the heat from the sun off the planet Earth in the middle of winter. Their whole global warming scam has fallen apart on. They've gone to the COVID now, like you said, Roger. That one, I believe, is a test. I honestly believe I kind of agree with what you said, that they're poking the human race right now to see the kind of reaction, and they wanted to find out how we reacted, how much power the mainstream media does have to, you know, control the public. And we've seen it. We're showing them exactly what they wanted to see. So they're going to put that away in their little toolbox, and the next time, it'll be really interesting.
Really, so don't even say I didn't let you say more than two words. Okay,
I did. So, I did get to talk to you today, Roger. And I do appreciate that being my show and all that. You know, you get me thinking.
But if you stop to think about what you just said, stop and think about it. Okay, it has taken 100 years to push humanity far enough technologically to be able to control all of humanity using that technology. It has taken 100 years to get us to the point where this could be our undoing. I will tell you that the next 10 years will decide whether the Georgia Guidestones are right or not. And it blatantly states to keep humanity at 500 million people in tune with nature. I'm going to tell you 100 years to get here. I'm going to tell you if we survive the next 10 years as a 7 to 8 billion population, then we will survive. I have doubts of the successful completion of the next 10 years if we don't get awful active right now.
Yeah, and there's actually a couple things that, well, you know, we're kind of living on borrowed time, Roger. We really are. You know, you look at what could actually really affect the planet globally right now. Not even talking about political, but talking about geological events that could happen because of the amount of nuclear power plants that now cover the planet, sitting on top of fault lines. I've looked at that and studied that. It's absolute insanity that we're actually playing Russian roulette right now, folks, and it's just a matter of time before one of these events happens. And some of these GE Mark I generators, and Roger knows all about those, are the worst concept, worst design ever created by man for a nuclear power plant. Well, there's 28 of those operating right now on the planet Earth. A couple of them happen to be on the west coast of the United States and North America here. And there's a fault out there called the Cascadia. And one of these days, and it could be 2 minutes from now because it's years and years overdue now, the longer we know, Roger, a fault line like that doesn't release, the more pressure builds up. Yeah. We're going to get a 9.2 15 miles off the coast, the west coast of North America, 600 miles long. And it's going to create a 50 to 100-foot tsunami that's going to hit the west coast of America all the way from Mexico to Alaska and around the world. Okay, and how many nuclear power plants are going to go south, buddy? You know, I think about this all the time, Roger. It's just a matter of time that all of a sudden one of these events are going to happen, buddy, and the whole human race is going to wake up. Because all of America will be blanketed with heavy, heavy layers of nuclear isotopes. And people will be dying by the hundreds of thousands. And they'll yell all of a sudden that we got to do something about it, buddy. But by then, it's going to be too late. We are living in nuclear insanity right now. And it's just a matter of time. And that's the way I see it. I don't know. Am I wrong? Am I seeing this out of proportion? I don't think so. Because I know that these geological events are going to happen, Roger. We don't stop the planet from doing what it's been doing for millions of years just because we built the nuclear power plants there and say, hey, Mother Nature, you can't move now because we built nuclear power plants here. You know, it's insanity, buddy. It is. We're going to wipe each other out. These elite, don't they understand that, you know, the planet can't withstand major, major nuclear events, okay? We're going to wipe out all life on the planet. Well, what are these elites going to have to enjoy if that kind of event happens? I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. That one perplexes me. Go ahead.
That's my little rant.
Okay. I'll shut up.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, actually, you got to let me talk. This is great, Roger. This is the first time we've actually.
I told you before the show started.
I know. I'm impressed, buddy. Okay, go ahead. But your thoughts on what I just said? Because am I the only one that sees this? Am I going nuts or is it, you know, I mean, I just don't understand it, man. We're supposed to be intelligent people. We're supposed to be intelligent.
Like Roger and let me talk. Oh,
no, but it drives me nuts. We're supposed to be smart, okay. Roger.
I know, but let's talk about it for a second.
Okay. Right? Let's talk
about it. I want you all to do me a favor again. I want you all to go out and get maps of all of the major fault lines on the planet. Then I want you to go out and get maps of all of the nuclear reactors on the planet. And what you're going to find out is literally going to blow the top of your head off because of what Barry just said, and he's exactly right. A great majority of these, death traps waiting to happen are located what would be considered to be disastrously close to fault lines.
It's not directly on top.
Now, this is not a joke. And again, you may be wondering why. Okay, maybe there are some aliens out there who figured we've all got to be gone by a certain day. And if we have a pole shift and it sets off all kinds of ripple action throughout, and this is a reality that could happen. It sets up a ripple through the planet that allows things like, I don't know, the super volcano in the United States to go off.
The San Mateo fault line.
The fault line you were talking about, fault line in Japan. And all of these hit. Let's say it only lasts for about an hour, okay? What you're going to see is that within a couple of days, the global radiation from all of the destroyed power plants, all right, the ones that went into meltdown, all of this will be at the point where not only will humanity die, but so will animals, and so will most of the plant life on this planet.
I think, Roger, we're in a situation that we shouldn't even be in at this point in human history. We're supposed to be intelligent species, that we've allowed the sun to be unleashed on the planet here. We're seeing the effects of Fukushima, Chernobyl. We're seeing the effects of all these nuclear power plants. We see all the scrams that are happening on a daily basis at nuclear power plants. We know what's going on at Hanford. We know about all this stuff that all of a sudden is coming forward. And what, we're only 60 years into the proliferation of nuclear power, and we see what it's doing to the planet now. We could take 20 years down the road, guys, and that's just what's going on now. And they'll add a couple, like Roger said, major geological events that shake the whole planet. Well, we have fault lines all over this planet right now. That there's three that I could tell you about that are overdue for major movement. So yep. What's going to take? A little shake here, a little shake there. Yellowstone has been doing all kinds of weird stuff for years. We know it is.
That'll take out most of North America.
Well, that's the whole world gone. If Yellowstone goes, Roger, you know that's a species-ending event. So, you know, Roger, you know, with nothing we can do about what geologically is going to happen, but we can do something about the fact that we have allowed nuclear power to come to the planet. Sure, these events have happened in geological history of the planet. Major events have happened. Life's been wiped out. We've been covered by ice. We've been covered by heat. It's just, you know, the sun goes farther away. It gets a little closer. A bunch of volcanoes go off. Major geological events have happened where we've seen 10 and 11 magnitude earthquakes. We haven't experienced them in our time, but those events have happened in human history, the geological history of the planet. And here we are. We come along and we put all, like you just said, that was one of the studies that just absolutely knocked me off my chair because I was on a computer that allowed me to have transparent paper, and I crunched up exactly what you said, fault lines and power plants, and you put them over on top of each other. And I'll tell you guys, you've got to do that because it'll knock you right off your chair. And Steve's telling me I got to watch my time, so we're down to about 3 minutes here, Roger. You know, we've got to give ourselves another hour here in a couple of weeks. I know you'll accommodate me, so I'm going to get you back here real quick because I love talking with you, buddy. I really do. But we only got 3 minutes left here. I'm going to let you plug your stations and a few thoughts, and then I'm going to have to take a break. But thanks for coming in, buddy, as always. Had a ball today. And you let me talk.
Yeah, I did. A few thoughts. Let me see. You give me less than 3 minutes and you tell me Roger, a few thoughts. Okay. If you stop to consider everything we've discussed today, the one thing you need to take away from this is what can I do and what can I do right now? And that's not a joke. And listen to shows like Barry's, Awake Radio, Shake and Wake, absolutely excellent. Hi, Annie. If you stop to consider the media that's available to you today for the truth, go to thelibertybeacon.com. From there, you can get to at least a half a dozen of our other websites. The thing we have above everything else is integrity. We don't challenge you to prove us wrong. We dare you to prove us wrong. And if you do prove us wrong, we all win. That's all I got, Barry.
Hey, you could. I hope you can prove us wrong. Because what we talk about, some of the things we talk about, Roger, I wish they weren't a reality, but unfortunately they are. And we've got to look the beast right in the face because we're in a situation here, buddy, in a situation we can't lose. That we're not going to get another opportunity to correct things if it continues to go down the road it is right now.
We can say in the afterlife that we were alive in one of the most, if not the most exciting times in Earth's history.
Yeah, we are definitely in that, Roger. And
I didn't say fun. I said exciting, and exciting doesn't mean happy.
No, you're absolutely correct that we seem to be going somewhere, and where it is, we're not quite sure, but we know something's in the air. So prepare yourself.
Okay.
Well, thank you, sir, for coming in. It's always a pleasure. And with that, we're going to take a break for about 3 minutes, and I'm going to be back with Jürgen Wallrath, and we're going to have a little chat about affairs in Canada. Thanks again, Roger, for joining me.
Always.
Be back in three minutes, Steve. Guys.
You are the only one who can give away your sovereignty. I don't care if everybody else on the entire planet says to me, you have no sovereignty. It's gone. Doesn't matter. I know I have it. I know it. I don't have to be told. I have it. Because I know I have it. Are you going to let the fear extinguish your spirit? Maybe you might think, oh, well, if I say X, Y, Z, they will kill me. Maybe. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But maybe. Well, let me just give you a newsflash. We're all going to die, folks. As far as I can tell, we all die. We come here, we last a certain amount of time. We have a bit of fun. We feel the woes, the joys, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. Fear, the hate, the anguish, the love, the compassion. We go through all these things. Loss, gain, shame, embarrassment, elation, abuse, generosity, and then we die, and we leave, are no longer here, wherever the heck here may be. And while we're here, we decide, you decide, you choose. Your choices creates your life. How you feel about things and the decisions you make based on those feelings directly affects the entire universe. If you're in a bad mood, you're affecting the entire universe. If you're in fear, you're affecting the entire universe. If you feel peace, love, joy, generosity, compassion, you are affecting the entire universe. Why not let that be the effect you have? It is simple. We can do this. Stop fearing it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Do you want to succeed? Then act like it. Behave like it. Go and succeed.
To www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks. And yeah, Roger, we kind of got a little sidetracked there the last 5 minutes of that first hour when I start talking about nuclear power. It absolutely drives me insane. What we've allowed to happen on this planet and the potential for the future. If I was made ruler of the world, I'll tell you guys, if I was made ruler of the world, the first thing I would do is I would make sure that within a generation, whether we went back to the Stone Ages and had to cook on open fires, nuclear power would be eliminated. Because I honestly believe if we don't eliminate it, it's going to eliminate us. But that's enough of that. I've got Jürgen in here for the second hour, and you've heard Jürgen many times on my show. One man that I really love talking with, Jürgen, because he feels the same way I do and shares the same passion that I do for what we see going on in this country right now and how it breaks our heart, what we can do to stop it, and what's coming next. The insanity levels are going right through the roof. We see chaos in our society right now that we haven't seen ever in our history. Where it's coming from, we know. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit today, Jürgen, and also the barbaric actions by our government here on Friday and what that's going to do in Canada going forward here in the next week. I really hope myself it's the trigger. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Barry. It's great to be back on. I certainly do appreciate the fact that we're able to have chats like this, and we're still able to do it for now. Thank goodness for that. With the way they're ramping up the censorship and everything, it's a wonder we're still allowed to do this. I'm very happy that we have the opportunity. So, first of all, if I may, Barry, when you called me and you said, you know, would you like to be on the show today? I've been giving a lot of thought as to what I should talk about when you wanted to question me today. And I think it's very important for people to understand in this country where we're at in terms of where the people come from that control us in this country and the ones above them. We haven't studied the right things. For example, we haven't studied Fabianism. We haven't studied eugenics. People don't understand those things. They don't. you know, they don't correlate eugenics with someone like George Bernard Shaw. And I have to say that because he was such a rabid Fabian. And for people to understand what that means, Fabians are the original society of these people that believed in dressing up as wolves in sheep's clothing to achieve your agenda. And they've believed for centuries as part of the whole Illuminati thing under Fabianism that they should just quietly creep in and into the sheep and do what they have to do to control society. And they've slowly done that. You see what's going on here. Eugenics, like you talk about eugenics. What we've seen in the last couple of months is the advent of what I'm calling a bio warfare on the human population, basically, and that's part of the eugenics and death culture that is a big proponent of what the Fabians relish, Fabian liberalism, Fabian Satanism, whatever you want to call it. But our society, Canadians in particular, seem to be very very uneasy with even studying the notion that we have people in our country that could actually be wolves in sheep's clothing. You know what I mean? So because we've basically been brought up to this notion that we're such pure and such innocent people, but. Boy, oh boy, it's that belief that has brought us to this place where we are today. It allows, if you think about it, the death culture, all of that, the Fabians that believe in dressing up as wolves in sheep's clothing, they project this death culture. It allows this notion that pedophilia is okay because it's all about death. It's all about eugenics. It's all about at the start of life, let's abort the babies. And at the end of life, let's abort those that are almost near death. And as you know, in the conversations that you hear, even with our prime minister these days, you know, he's always trying to expand the euthanasia laws. Let's include this group. Let's include that group. That all goes back to Fabianism. And Canadians need to study what Fabians are. And one of the biggest ones this country ever had was Tommy Douglas, and they praise him because he brought us universal health care. But you see where that's got us. Right? Where you have to wait almost a year, like myself, to see someone about a torn tendon in your darn shoulder.
Well, there's a connection between an actual Jesuits and Fabianism, is there not?
There is connection with Fabians are connected to every religious group. There's nothing that ties them to any particular group. Actually, what ties them most is radical Islam, because they are so entrenched with, if you look at where we're at now, it has a lot to do with Fabianism, and it has a lot to do with eugenics, it has a lot to do with Sharia law. Everything we're under right now, if you don't think Sharia law is happening as we're under this quarantine, then you're not paying attention.
I know.
Because all of a sudden we have three major cities in this country, and there's more coming, that have allowed the call to prayer at 5:30 in the morning, which never happened in this country before. That's never going to, that's not going to be temporary.
Right? I know that, Jürgen. I see what's going on, and why aren't Canadians standing up right now and screaming at the top of their lungs that we're not going to take this crap? But what are we hearing, man? Crickets? I mean, I read about this going on back east there and in Halifax. It's going to get challenged big time, of course. It's going to get challenged in courts of law, because what they're doing is blatantly against any charter of rights and freedoms we have in this country. But we're allowing this to go on. What is wrong with Canadians? We're going to allow this kind of culture to come into our society? Do we not know what our grandfather died for, Jürgen? I mean, this is driving me nuts. Johnny Comby, you hear what's going on with her, eh? The information that came out about her $831,000 donation she took to allow the call to prayer to be broadcast in Mississauga. These documents are coming out here in the next couple of days. There's some really heavy stuff coming out about Bonnie Crombie. And I hope it does come to the surface, because if it does, we'll get her out of power, man. She is crooked to the core, but there's a lot of them that are, Jürgen. They're selling our country, buddy. They're selling us out.
Well, you look what has happened in our country, Barry. We've kicked Christianity out of our schools, replaced it with secularism over the last number of decades, and that's been replaced now with allowing call to prayer, Friday prayers in our schools. So we have morphed. I mean, if that's evolution, is that what evolution is? Like, Barry, when I grew up, I used to recite the Lord's Prayer, and now my grandkids are growing up, and my granddaughter's going to have to wear Muslim garb? Barry, is that what's going on here? Barry, is that the evolution of our society? Barry, that's what it looks like, right?
Barry.
Yeah. Yes, Steve.
You have another caller in.
Oh, yeah. Doug Force has joined us here. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good, Barry. How about yourself?
We're pretty wound up. You probably already hear that, and we haven't even gotten going yet today, Doug. We're at our wit's end. We really are. We're sitting here banging our heads against the wall. We see these things happening in our society, and we see crickets coming out of the majority of Canadians' mouths, and it just baffles me why we aren't hearing a kickback and seeing a kickback. Then, of course, Friday was the crossing of the sand line, as far as I'm concerned, for Justin Trudeau. He has really, really woken up and pissed off a lot of Canadians. What I've heard in the last couple of days is people are ready for civil war. But I'm going to say this right now before I let you talk, Doug. It's one thing we cannot do is go to an armed confrontation against the government. It will justify the reading of the Emergencies Act. Martial law will be declared, and we will be in full military lockdown. If you don't think that can happen in this country, folks, I will sell you a bridge in Florida or in New York City, okay? That's what we're dealing with. We're in a very, very critical time right now, and people need to be made aware of it. What do you think? And then as soon as you finish talking, I'm going to let Jürgen in there because I know he has got lots to say today. Welcome to the show, Doug.
And thank you for having me. I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to start with a quote from a guy called John F. Kennedy. He says, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." And the problem we have with this, as you pointed out Friday, with the gun ban, Trudeau is not as stupid as we'd like to think he is. Because when you read the gun ban, it actually doesn't come into force and effect for people to turn their guns in for 2 years. What it does immediately is stop the sale of these 150 arms that they've put up within this act. So the gun sellers, sporting goods stores, et cetera, are taking a massive loss. And they can't sell ammunition for these weapons as well now that that's been issued. But he's allowed the people, and I thought this was kind of funny, to keep the guns for 2 years. And if, as you know, I follow what goes on in the financial world, and most economists now in the Western world say that the Federal Reserve note denominated as the U.S. dollar will no longer be a global reserve currency before the end of this year or by the 1st of January of next year, which means that we'll see the collapse of the economies here in North America and in Europe, along with the collapse of the various governments. So Trudeau has actually done us all a favor by allowing us to keep our guns for the next 2 years, because he knows full well that he's not going to be around in 2022 when they actually do. That government won't be around. The Canadian government won't be around. Canada will probably be its 10 provinces and 3 territories, but it won't have a central government at all anymore. Likewise, in the United States, it looks like, in all likelihood, the U.S. will split up as well and break away into 6 or 7 nation states unto their own selves. And that doesn't surprise me. Once the economy has been wiped out and the fiat currency system has been destroyed, I don't think the bankers are going to have a reset. I think the bankers are going to be more worried about what lampposts they're going to be hanging from than resetting the currency system. It's just starting to – the spotlight is starting to fall on them now with this coronavirus fraud. And by the way, Mississauga here in Ontario on Friday lifted the ordinance allowing the call to prayer to go through and lifting the sound violation ordinance to allow that to go through on Friday. just to add that to your little piece of what you were talking about before I came in.
Well, I hope the Mississaugan community puts a stop to that right now.
It just amazes me that you can close the Christian churches, but you leave the Islamic mosques open.
Well, it shouldn't amaze you, Doug. We know what's going on inside the Canadian country. You know, we know what the agenda is and why Islam's everywhere now.
No, but what amazes me is that the Christians didn't do anything about it. They didn't rise up against this. How horrible is that? It shows that you're not a very good Christian if you're not going to rise up against something like this, this type of tyranny. I mean, Jesus Christ did not say turn the other cheek. He said pick up the sword when the sword needs to be picked up.
Yeah, I agree. For people to accept this, Doug, it really, really makes me question just how far our society's gone, and can we pull it back? If this goes forward, and what's going on with the guns, what's going to be next, guys? What is he going to come out and ban next in society? We know that they're going to be licensing all the media outlets in Canada. They're going to come after all us small guys and tell you, hey, you can't even be on the internet. That's coming real soon. They're going to completely silence us. You said, Jürgen, we're lucky that we can actually do these shows still. And Roger said the same thing. We're lucky to still do this because we're getting to a point soon where they're going to silence us. So that's not too far away.
Well, and they even tax the air we breathe.
Christians dropped the sword a long time ago, and they've been brainwashed to be completely pacifistic in this country ever since the elder Trudeau got into power. We were led to believe that Canada will be the forebearers of the greatest peace the world has ever known, and that's sort of the kind of mockingbird media rhetoric that we've been fed for decades in this country, that we're such peaceful people, even though we were such valiant warriors in the First and Second World War. They kind of sucked that life out of us with continued decades of immoral education and indoctrination through a system that basically bled us dry of that kind of nationhood, sovereignty, the whole spirit of wanting to be a Canadian was kind of sucked out of us as well. If you notice, ever since the time of Chrétien specifically, the number of trips that they started taking to China and changing our whole notion of, yes, it's okay to accept the culture of the United States, but we really prefer the politics of China. What the heck kind of a notion is that? You know, and for the whole time that's been going on in my lifetime, my wife and I have been talking about it and saying they're falling more and more in love with China. They love Cuba more and more. It's just insane what is going on in this country. We watched the slide for 50 years and nobody said anything. So, picking up the sword, good grief. Yeah, absolutely right. There is no sword. The people have totally dropped it in this country. There's no question about it.
Well, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, and the funny thing is that China has gone from a communist nation into a capitalist regime, not a capitalist nation, but a capitalist regime, which is completely different from a free market capitalist society. But and don't forget that the first Trudeau was a card carrying communist, and in 1968, when he first got elected, he wasn't allowed to enter the United States because he was a card carrying communist. They refused his entry into the U.S.
You fooled every one of us. I was an 18-year-old kid in Ottawa at the time. I had just sworn allegiance to this country as a citizen because I was born in Germany. I'd made the decision at 18 to say, yes, I want to be a Canadian. And I got swept up because my high school where I was right near an area where all the bureaucrats and diplomats. And so a lot of the kids I went to high school with were sons and daughters of diplomats, bureaucrats, and high-level politicians. So I got to go to a lot of events when I was 18 at different diplomatic parties, different embassies, and all of that. You should have seen it. It was insane. I think back now, and I think, oh, my God. Like, the machine that they used to elect that man who deceived everybody by walking out of Quebec as a card-carrying communist, deceiving the entire country of Canada, calling himself a liberal. And here's the guy, Lester Pearson is the guy to blame for that, because he's the guy who originally said the three wise men from Quebec are coming to save this country. And that was Trudeau, Pelche, and Marchand, those three clowns that were all socialist slash communists from Quebec. They were going to save the country, right? And look what they've done. Look what they've done. And ever since then, the slide has just been so evident and so obvious. And yet Canadians have just sleptwalked through the whole thing after every 4 years, every election, believing this party's going to pull us out of this. And no party has ever done it.
Well, ever. They don't want to. They have no desire to.
Exactly. They don't. They're all working together, right? They always have.
They stick their snout in the trough. And then that's how they maintain their wealth and their power. They lie to you. Oh, well, elect me and I'll make changes. But people forget there was a little case done in 1990 called Little Child, where the judge found in favor of Little Child he could lie to his constituents and get elected. And the constituents' only recourse was to the next election cycle was to elect the next guy that lied to them.
Yeah.
That was their recourse. So this is plain. It doesn't get any plainer than this. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening here, this is taxation without representation. And where have we heard that before? Oh, in that little town called Boston back in the 1700s. Didn't they have a little tea party about that?
Mm-hmm. I got a question. Just getting a little bit off topic here, guys. There was a thought that came to my mind about this whole virus thing that kind of has been sticking with me for the last couple of days. Do you remember, wasn't it just, it wasn't long ago, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, possibly three, because my memory's fading, that the Chinese government or some Chinese consortium bought out the seniors' homes in British Columbia, or an element of a certain company of seniors' homes in British Columbia? Did they not?
They own them all. Yeah, they do. They own all the – they have majority stock in all these senior age homes in British Columbia.
Okay. Now, here's my question. Where were most of the deaths in British Columbia from this coronavirus?
Imagine in the old age homes. No, there's nothing to see there. You're again? That's a coincidence.
Nothing to see there, right? Nothing.
No.
Dude, that's not a coincidence, right?
I was actually going to bring that up today. I'm glad you did, man. I was going to bring that point up. It's just, we live in a world, we should call this show Truth and Coincidences, okay? That should be the name of our show.
Yeah.
Because there is so many coincidences in our world, man. It's just kind of boggles
me. Scariest.
Wow. These guys should be going to Vegas.
The scariest part of this story as well is the thing that's been underplayed the most in my mind, and that is connection between Harvard University and China and these labs where they're making these viruses to kill humanity. Why the heck are they even working on these things is my first question. And my second question would be, for how many decades have they been sharing information or giving information to the Chinese from Harvard University? And if that's the case, how long have they been doing it from Canada? And how much of our intellectual integrity has been sold to China over the last number of decades? How much has left this country?
So what? They know everything about us, and they're in control of our security services and our intelligence services. Nothing to worry about, man. Just look to the hockey game.
Every hockey game, Huawei. Buy my Huawei. Get some Huawei, right?
I'm just trying to make a little humor of what you're saying because it absolutely drives me nuts. Everything you just said, it drives me insane, what I see going on. And why Canadians can't stand up against it, Jürgen, it's got me kind of perturbed. Are we going to be able to stop this? I look what's coming for my grandchildren, buddy, and it's absolutely driving me insane. And, yeah, we joke about it a little bit, but if I don't laugh about this a little bit, it is going to drive me insane. It truly is. Because we just see chaos ramping up in our society like I've never seen before. You've never seen this before, Jürgen. But you know what? We talked about this about 3 or 4 years ago. I know we did. And
yeah,
here it is.
We knew there was something coming. We just didn't know what it was. Here it is.
Face, yeah. Man. Doug, what do you think?
Well, no. I mean, you got to laugh, okay, at the sheer – I had a friend who worked in military intelligence years ago. And he used to say, intelligence, not what they are, but what they are seeking. And so it doesn't surprise me that these idiots would get in bed with the enemy and give the enemy everything and then expect the same in response, in return from them. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm sorry. It just the pure stupidity of what they're doing. They, God, it's just, and you could point to time after time after time after time of all the incidents, like you call them coincidences. Oh no, gee whiz, you know, the event 201 in October about the coronavirus, you know, being a pandemic, and suddenly, whoa, hey, what a coincidence. In March of this year, wow, that whole thing came about. Oh my God, that's a coincidence. No, my friend, it's all planned and they're all working together. What we don't know is, and what we don't see is that they keep us separated. They keep us divided. Oh, it's the Chinese. No. Oh, no. Gosh, no. It's this group. Oh, no. It's this group. Oh, no. It's the LGBT. So by keeping us divided, we don't ever focus on the actual people that are doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones we have to hunt down and hang from the nearest lamppost. And they
– go ahead.
I'm saying and they – sit in their ivory towers looking down and laughing at us.
Yeah, now they've created new divisions. Just think about it. Essential versus non-essential. That's going to stick forever now. Here's something else that's going to stick forever. Social distancing. You think that's going to go away? They're going to use it as an excuse forever. That's going to stick for a long, long time, the social distancing. And here's the other thing. I keep going back to Sharia law. Do you think they're going to allow concerts in the next short term? I don't think so. And once the concerts are gone, people won't miss them that much. They'll find other things to do. They're shifting everything very quickly as this virus moves along, as you notice with the laws that they try to implement, the things that have absolutely nothing to do with this virus in terms of the money, the $2 trillion. You've read those reports, right, on where a lot of that money went to arts and to all these different things, like $150 million to the Los Angeles Lakers and – what the heck has that got to do with a virus, right?
Come back to social distancing just for a second. This is such foolishness. So social distancing doesn't work outside. Doesn't work at all outside because – and you ask any doctor who just graduated yesterday will tell you social distancing doesn't work outside. I talked to my friend Cody Holler earlier today, and he said, Doug, that's right. But the whole idea between social distancing is so that they could – the cameras, all of the CCTV cameras for facial recognition, well, now they're not going to – you're not going to wind up getting close to people, hence causing these cameras and the tracking devices that are in your phones to be screwed up. You give you 6 feet, and that means that each individual will be tracked and photographed and properly with the facial recognition stuff without interfering with other people being close to them within proximity. So the crowds will all – there won't be big crowds. There'll be all these individuals that they can track individually on your smartphone with your injected tracking devices through the vaccines and, yeah, laugh. But don't forget, Bill Gates has this whole thing planned out.
I'm sorry for laughing.
I know.
You got to laugh at this. You do. If anybody really takes any time out of their life and looks at a few things that we're talking about right now, if you haven't before, then you will. You'll laugh because the idiocy, the hypocrisy, the insanity of what we see going on here right now, society is just bending over. And I can't believe it that people are giving up their freedoms, that they're allowing these catastrophic changes, they're allowing their businesses that they've worked for all their life to be destroyed over something that hasn't got the knockdown power that the flu virus does. But people cannot take the time to do their own research. They go home, they drink the Kool-Aid. And until we can get them to stop doing that and really start looking at what we're going on, I think the biggest challenge we have right now is to get these guys out of the matrix. Making me realize what's at stake right now.
Can I tell you a funny story? Quick one.
Sure, go ahead.
So I had to go to the post office the other day, and my postal guy, he's wearing a mask. Now, as you know, if you ask any doctor or nurse in a hospital, they wear a mask not to protect themselves from you, but because most people in the hospital have a impaired immune system, they wear the mask to stop the bacteria and viruses going into those patients. So it's there to protect you from them. Right. So I walked up to my postal guy and I says, "So you got the coronavirus. It's nice to see you're wearing a mask so I don't catch it." He goes, "What?" I says, "Well, the only reason you'd wear a mask is if you have the coronavirus and you're protecting the people that are coming in here from the coronavirus." And he goes, "No, I don't have the coronavirus. What are you talking about?" I says, "Why are you wearing a mask? The only reason you wear a mask is to protect people, your customers, from getting the coronavirus." He goes, "I don't have it." And he took his mask off and threw it back. He says, "What are you talking about?" I says, "Ask any doctor. You only wear the mask if you have it. You don't wear the mask to prevent it, because you'll never prevent it that way." Anyways, it was funny just to look on his face like, "What?"
Good. Oh, God, you have to laugh for sure.
I know. I see people walking down the street, and they actually step out of their way to make sure that they're 6 feet away from somebody going the other way on the sidewalk. I see that all the time. I see them in stores making room for each other and stepping back like we're walking around with the bubonic plague. It's a joke, but it's not, because it just goes to show you how easy society is manipulated by mainstream media. Those are the ones, that's where we should be lining up, folks. We should be lining up outside the doors of CDC and demanding accountability from people that we're paying to destroy our society, period. And that's what they're doing.
Well, and they don't have it.
They have no accountability.
The money in your wallet is theirs. You're just holding it until they need it.
Yeah, I know.
That's how they perceive you.
Well, Trudeau's also made that a law. He's, you know, if our economy goes down, he can raid every bank account in Canada, and we have no recourse. And he can do that with a flick of a switch.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Flattery did that under the PC government.
Apparently, I thought it was Trudeau that brought that forward.
No. That was Harper. Harper put that in. It was a rider it was a rider on Flattery's budget. They put that in as it's called the bail-in rider on the budget.
Say, Barry. Barry?
Yes, sir.
If you put your money into a bank, that bank effectively owns your money anyways, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I've heard that said. I don't have a bank account, Steve. I haven't had a bank account in 5 years now. So they're not going to get any of my money. I'll tell you that.
I just keep a dollar in every account just to keep it open. And then at the end of the month, I pay my bills. So I put all the money in. Then I pay the bills. So there's only a dollar left. So.
Well, people ask me how I live without a bank account, and I live quite well. The only thing that's the inconvenience once in a while, if I get a check, I got to go to Money Mart. I got to pay them a few dollars to cash a check. But you know what? I'd rather give it to them guys than the bank anyways, you know? You got a thief over there, and you got a thief over here. Well, both thieves need a little bit of money, so I'd rather give it to Money Mart, you know?
Well, you talk about money and where your money goes. One of the rabbit holes I went down in the last couple of months, I guess, is foundations. And it's very scary reading about foundations and what they actually do. I don't know if very many people understand what Rockefeller and the rest of them, what these foundations, what their mission statements are, what people understand about them. But boy, I'll tell you, if you start getting into it, you start to understand where social engineering comes from. You start to understand why laws are in place that go totally against humanity, because these foundations have agendas within them tied into government organizations, government NGOs, all of that, that shift societal patterns. They're the ones that are responsible for the social engineering programs. They're the ones that come up with these massive bills that nobody can understand it, and governments want to pass before any legislators have a chance to read them. It's these foundations that bring people in from different organizations and slide them into corporations so that they can direct that corporation towards a certain agenda. That's where all these people come from. They come from the money that is laundered into these foundations, dressed up. Again, I go back to the Fabian Society, and people need to study Fabianism more. They have to understand where these people are coming from to understand where we are. It is so deeply entrenched and it is so deeply rooted. Canada is one of the worst. If you think of where this country is, if you think of the face that we put in front of the world for the last number of decades as this quiet, peaceful little northern country that is sort of the hat of the United States, the great evil below us that is portrayed throughout the world, we're just the hat above it that is respectful and quiet. When we actually are one of the worst countries in the world for harboring these type of people. Why do you think Justin Trudeau is so comfortable with saying, let's bring all the ISIS terrorists back and they're going to be a great benefit to our society?
Why are they being allowed to walk on our streets today, right now, as we talk? Why is that happening in our country? I just don't, that's not even justifiable, but that's the fact right now.
Well, and Jürgen, not only the Fabian Society, but from the Fabian Society came the Malthusians through the Rhodes Scholars.
Yes.
And the number one Malthusian, and she's very proud of this, is Christa Friedland. She is proud of her Malthusianism and being a Rhodes Scholar and being a eugenicist. She actually was caught saying that she'd like to drop the population of Canada to 5 million slaves and kill 32 million people.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And who pays attention to that? Nobody pays attention to that. And that's the reality of what we're living under. It's like when Pierre Trudeau said unilingual Canadians will be sentenced to a lifetime of job immobility. And now English speakers sit, they can't get a job in their own government. He said it. He told everybody what was going to happen. Everybody said, well, jobs are going to be impacted for English speakers. He said, no, they won't. He lied to everybody's face. And now, look, try to get a job in the federal government. At a high level, if you only speak English, it's impossible. You can't do it, right? So the lies have just been so deep in this country. It is absolutely unbelievable that the Canadian people's eyes have been so closed. But then again, when you have a mockingbird media like the CBC, which is probably worse than Pravda ever was, we have media now that is more like Pravda than ever was in Canada, especially since he decided to not only give CBC money, but all the rest of them. All their favored ones, and then declaring that they need to pass a law to make some kind of legality for people like you and I having a chat, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we only have to look to south of the border and look at the Clinton News Network down there MSNBS down there. All of the mainstream media has been co-opted by it's all owned by six people. That's it. There's six corporations that run all the Western media. And we are the enemy. Of course we are.
Yep.
In the United States, you want to find out who the sovereigns are in the U.S., just read the first three words of the Constitution. We the people. And then the government says, well, we the people are the enemy of this government. Because this government has to have what's his name? Dick Cheney. Continuity of government. He was the creator of continuity of government down there when he was vice president. He was also one of the authors of PNAC, the Project for a New America, for what we call the neoconservatives, which are really nothing more than Zionazis. And the horror. I was in Ottawa a few years ago, and I was there to do some business. I had some other business going on, and I would stay in the nice hotel where they have the corporate suites with their own bar and their own business center. And so I was in there for happy hour at the bar, and I was sitting there with my business partner. We were talking about stuff, and the guy beside me says, oh, hey, hi, Mike. And he introduced himself, and I said, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. And he says, look, if you guys are here wanting to get in contact with the government, I work in the prime minister's office. And I said, really? So you work with Mr. Harper? He says, no, Mr. Harper works for me. And I said, excuse me? He says, no, I'm appointed from the White House. I'm the neoconservative. If you go to see Mr. Harper, you have to go through my office first, and I will approve or disapprove your meeting with Mr. Harper. And I said, really? And he says, yeah. So if you need anything, I mean anything, you give me a call. He gave me his business card and said, whatever you need, you have carte blanche. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Excuse me. Oh, sorry.
Do your corner. That's okay. We'll forgive you once.
Sorry. Get the heck out of here.
That's okay. It's okay.
Get the heck out of here.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Doug.
Yes, sir.
Rex 84, back in 1984, was actually the continuity of government uncovered by Congress when they took the Contra affair in the Congress.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't Dick Cheney part of that? He was Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz, weren't they part of that?
Probably. Probably.
And I just confused him when he was vice president, but you're right. It actually goes back into the 80s under the Reagan administration for continuity of government.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely correct. Thank you for that, Stephen. I stand corrected.
Well, we all make we don't quite get our facts right. Earlier today, I stated that the somebody posted up a meme that the Queen of England had given Bill Gates a knighthood, but I thought it was current. I just glanced at it, and of course, I said it on air, and then I found out afterwards that that was about 15 years ago that she actually gave Bill Gates a knighthood.
Yeah,
imagine a guy like that getting a knighthood. But then we know what the Queen of England's all about too, don't we?
But it was an honor. It was an honorary knighthood. It wasn't an actual knighthood.
Okay. What is the actual difference?
He can't call himself Sir Bill Gates, whereas the former president of the United States, George Bush Sr., can call himself Sir. And same with Henry Kissinger, is a Sir. Bill Gates was honorary. He can't use the term Sir in front of his name.
So in other words, Paul McCartney, when we call him Sir Paul McCartney, he's got that status, of course.
Oh, he's gender neutral anyways, isn't he?
Well, same with Sir Elton John.
So where do you think is going to be the kickback here in the next? How much pushback do you think we're going to see on these laws or this proposal that Justin Trudeau brought forward on Friday? What do you think we're going to see this week, Doug? What I'm hearing. I think I'm hearing a lot of people that want to push back. I don't know what you're hearing.
I don't think we're going to see a big pushback right at the start because the courts are still closed. But this is an easy one to go into the courts because I did a show with Duke Willis last night, and we were talking about jurisdiction. And a motion filed on jurisdiction on this, that they don't have the jurisdiction to ban guns here on the landmass known as Canada, because they don't work on the landmass. If you look under the definition of what Canada is by their Interpretations Act, it says the internal waters and territorial seas. That's all they are. So, hey, look, they can enforce the gun laws on the internal waters and territorial seas all they want to all those people that live on the internal waters and the territorial seas. But on the landmass known as Canada, it is a motion to file for lack of jurisdiction. And people could do that. What I'd like to see is 10,000 filings go right across from Newfoundland all the way up to British Columbia and wrap the courts. Okay. See, the government wants to shut us down. Well, let's shut them down. Let's do 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 filings on lack of jurisdiction, motion for lack of jurisdiction, and watch the court system lock up. It's over.
Well, I'd be down for something like that. Anything I can do, Doug, to fight against this government, on board. So why don't we organize something like that? Because I know there's a bunch of other people are looking for any kind of mechanism to stop the madness in Ottawa.
Ewan's
got a good idea too. I'll let him share that after you finish.
The problem is that if we decided we wanted to organize something like that, they'd put us in jail because, according to them, that's against their laws. And they're right; they would come along and they'd lock us up because we're inciting the public for sedition.
I gotta
laugh.
Yeah, you better stand by a railroad track and set some wood on fire. That's better. You can do that. That's no problem.
That's another set of laws, Jürgen. That's the other set of laws, okay? We have two sets of laws in Canada.
That's the multicultural set.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like I phoned the government here and I told them I want to deny my Canadian citizenship and I want to come back as an illegal immigrant into the country so I can get free dental because I don't get free dental, and I'd love to have it because I need some dental work done. I haven't heard back from them yet.
No, good luck on that.
Well, and according to the Citizenship Act, in order to be a Canadian citizen, you must be born on a ship that's registered with a Canadian flag. And I often ask people, what ship were you born on that flew the Canadian flag that you claim to be a Canadian citizen on? People go, what? What are you talking about? I said, read the Citizenship Act. You're not a Canadian citizen unless you were born on a Canadian registered ship.
When did that change?
1947.
Then how did I become a citizen by declaring it in 1968?
You were an immigrant. It's a whole different thing for immigration.
Well, what are you talking about? Sorry, Doug. I don't.
So people that were born here on the land here in Canada, okay, automatically become Canadian citizens. Except when you read the Citizenship Act, which says very clearly that you're only a Canadian citizen if you were born on a ship registered under a Canadian flag. So what ship were you born on? So what happened to you as an immigrant, you walked onto the ship known as the Government of Canada, INC. That was the ship that you swore your allegiance to when you immigrated to Canada. You never got to set foot on the land. You only set foot on the ship. And that's part of the – if you read the Citizenship Act, it's very clear that's what happens to immigrants. Because they don't have any claim to the land. They only have claim to the water.
Okay.
Canadian government cannot produce eminent domain. Like the United States government claims eminent domain. The state governments claim eminent domain. Here in Canada, the provinces can't claim eminent domain. The federal authority can't claim eminent domain. And neither can the Queen of Canada. None of them can claim eminent domain, which means that we're not a sovereign nation. Never have been.
Right. That's well, for sure.
Anybody knows me, just knows that that's, this kind of stuff is out of my realm. Okay, political stuff is something I have a hard time understanding. But
everything is just a big game. Everything is just a big game that they do to us. They play these games, and
they make it hard for a guy like me to understand it. That's all.
Yeah,
but the court system. So try to go to court without a lawyer. Go ahead.
Exactly. I'm sorry, I got to laugh because why would you actually enter into their administrative offices? Those aren't courts of law. Go on to Dun & Bradstreet and look them up. They all have credit ratings. What are they? They're corporations. So yeah. When you go into there, that's not a court of law. Court of law doesn't have a credit rating. Court of law has judges.
The general population doesn't know this, Doug, and they just do what they're told and programmed to do. What they're to do since they were born, you know. I mean, the court is the court. You got to call. If they call you, that's it. Most Canadians haven't got a clue what we're talking about here. Well, it would be hard for them to embrace it, you know, because they're scared.
Well, and I find it funny. Subpoenas are an invitation to come to court. That's all they are. And a very famous guy was subpoenaed to testify in front of Congress. Three times he declined, and that was little Timothy Geithner. Declined three times to go to Congress and testify. And he was subpoenaed all those three times. And he simply stated very clearly, thank you for the invitation, but I'm busy that day. Fuck off. Sorry. I did it again. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Fell out of my mouth.
Well, we just try and keep that out of the shows. But we'll forgive you one more time, Doug. But the third time, three strikes, you're out. But anyways, it's all good.
So when you get subpoenaed to court, they're only asking you, please come to our party. It's an invitation. You don't have to accept it. Now, if it's a warrant, that's a different story. But then a warrant has to be sworn in front of a judge by a officer of the court, and he has to have actual evidence for your arrest. And without that, if they just issue a warrant without that attached documentation, that warrant does no standing in law. So people, you need to do your research, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, that'll be our legal lesson for the day. Let's call it that. Jürgen, I've heard there's some rumors about some things going on in Alberta that are really going to be a little bit of a pushback against the government. Do you want to elaborate on any of that, or is there anything you can talk about? But I've been getting some information about people that are actually ready to get up and stand against this government.
Well, we are going to meet again in Medicine Hat probably next week. There'll be a rally again, I think, on Saturday. I'm not sure what's happening in the rest of the province, but there is a lot of dissension, that's for sure. I mean, I think the one thing that's going to rally this province now is the last move by Trudeau, that gun grab, of course. No matter whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now, this is the thing that I think has put everybody over the top that was on the fence wondering about this guy. I think this is the final nail in his coffin. I think he's a done deal after this in terms of the people of Alberta. One of the most exciting things happening here, and I've been speaking to some of the powers that be, is that Wexit has joined forces with the Freedom Conservative Party to form another provincial entity called the Wild Rose Independence Party of Alberta. That just happened last week. There's got to be some legalities ironed out to get some of the 6,000 votes for Wexit, some of those people transferred over. So there's some things they have to do, but at least it shows that we're trying to work on something to fight against a globalist Kenny, because, you know, as I was saying at the start of the program, you just seen one of the biggest wolves in sheep's clothing took over the province of Alberta. I've questioned the people here. How do you allow this guy who was born in Ontario and didn't graduate from the University of San Francisco, how did you allow him to become premier of Alberta? It just doesn't make any sense. But at any rate, that's where we're at. So I feel kind of optimistic that there's a political provincial entity that's thrown into the mess that is Canadian provincial politics, and maybe something can happen. I don't know. Yet you have to stay positive, right?
Yeah, we do. And at this point, anything that is going to stand against the government, I think you'll start seeing people really jump on board, Jurgen, because Canadians are really getting to a breaking point now. What's going on is really starting to affect everybody. It doesn't matter who you are in Canada right now. This lockdown COVID crap is affecting all sectors of our society. And wait till we see the ripple down effects a couple months down the road from all these small businesses that are going to go under. Of course, it all is about centralizing power with the government. We know what they're doing. We know what they're doing with the food shortages. We could talk about that, but we don't have enough time about that. That's all a centralized control mechanism that the government is rapidly implementing in Canada, right in front of our faces.
Yeah, it's quite a sorry situation. And you know, you look back at the leaders of today. I was thinking back yesterday about the great revolution that happened in the 60s with rock and roll that came in, and I keep thinking now it was such a great, wonderful time, but all those people that were kids back then, they're the ones that have decided to be the communists in California. So, you know, the way you see life progress, Barry, you and I, you know, you're at that age, once you hit the big 7-0, you're close to it. You've seen a lot of things transpire, and my greatest thing is right now I'm in a situation where I'm a targeted group of Canadians. I'm the biggest target. Whether they throw more biological agents at killing off the old people through their eugenic plan of having only 500 million people on the planet, mm-hmm. I feel even more a target now than when I lived in the city of Ottawa giving speeches on Parliament Hill. So
yeah, that's true. You're true. You're absolutely correct right now. We're disposable. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have to pay us seniors' pensions, money they don't have. They blew all our money, which was our money. They didn't invest it properly, or they would have made so much darn money we'd be rolling in it. And our pensions would be, you know, in the tens of thousands of dollars more than what we're getting now. So it's just insane what they've done. You know, I mean, just look at it. They changed the name of it to government benefits. It's your money, but they're going to call it a government benefit, right? As they take your money and invest it and give you back 2.4%. The last time I heard when he raised, he wanted to amalgamate the pension plans, right, Trudeau, in a budget a few years ago, he amalgamated. Some accountant did an analysis, and the increase people are going to get, like we got paid on our pensions roughly over the course of our lifetime, 2.3%, I think it was. The improvement to the pensions for the kids now is like 0.01% higher. So he says, I'm going to make your pension so much better. And you know, if you take that money yourself and invest it in something else, you'll at least get 3, 4, 5%. So they're ripping us off in such a huge way. It's just beyond belief. You know, and here we're going to have all kinds of temporary measures from this coronavirus, just like temporary income tax from the Second World War.
Boy, talking about making us subservient to a government, hey? All in the master plan, man.
Yeah,
they are taking over every aspect of our life right in front of our faces, and people don't see it, guys. They just don't see it. But I believe that that's going to change. I have to stay positive, like you. You're going to have to stay positive. We see so much going on right now that's negative that I still have to maintain that if the Canadian people were really, really aware of what's coming and what's in store for their children, if we don't all get involved every way we possibly can to stop this, then we're going to lose the battle. And I don't want to say that, but I have to be realistic about what I see.
Honestly, Barry, there's really no political solution for this. If you look at how these people are elected, and then who they swear their allegiance to, the minute they would go against that to cause any change is the minute they are put in irons and thrown in jail. So we do actually have a solution, as you know, Barry. I'm the guy from The Myth is Canada. Right. And that's what we're talking about. We talk about how we, the people, have the right to seek de jure governments in all our provinces. And then after doing that, if we so choose to create a federal authority, we have that ability to do that. And I'm actually going on another show later tonight to do the introduction to the new Zoom calls that we're now be putting out starting next week to teach people. And these are teaching 1-hour calls that people will call will fall into, and we'll teach. There are 8 modules, so we're going to start over the next 2 weeks teaching module 1, then working off to module 2, module 3, and so on. And it's teaching people from right across Canada, not just in Alberta or Saskatchewan or British Columbia, but every single province across Canada and the territories are invited to join us on these calls. We can take up to 100 people at a time on these calls and learn how to seat a de jure government. It's been in our backyard since 1931.
Well, going the way it is right now, we're not going to see any changes in Canada. I mean, if we continue down the path we're on, then we will be just part of the globalist agenda. So I'm going to be taking a little bit more of a look at this, Doug, myself. Rolling around my brain, I've been sitting on the fence a little bit about it, but I will have a look at it real hard. Maybe I'll join in a few of these modules and have a listen to what you're saying. At this point, we're all looking for an answer to stop the madness in this country. So I would say, people, take a look at what's going on and judge it for yourself. What do you think, Jürgen?
Well, that's the entire thing. People have to research for themselves. People have to look for the truth and dig as much as they can. We're all trying to find that, right? Every one of us that has a brain is trying to find some sense out of the madness and the lies and deception that we're fed on a daily basis from the Mockingbird media and all the Decepticons that are out there with misinformation, false information. So, I think people should, it's time for people to stand up for their rights. It's time for people to say, you know what, by the very fact that they're taking away so many rights while we're under this virus should lead everyone to believe that this is not about a virus. This is about something way deeper and darker than about a singular virus. Otherwise, they would have shut us down years ago with SARS or H1N1 or all of that. And getting to that, I wanted to make this point earlier, but we never got onto the topic. Just real quick, I wanted to say that during our lifetime when we were brought up, we got a few shots when we were kids, and we went through our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s fairly healthy. I see the new kids today that are 20, 30, 40 years old. They've had more sicknesses than I ever had in my whole friggin' lifetime in their ages, in terms of flus, in terms of all of that stuff. And they've been stuck with 10 times as many needles as we ever were. So I just wanted to leave people with that.
We'll do a show. Okay, Al, thanks for joining us today. We're down, actually, guys, to the last couple minutes here. Doug, real quick, I'm going to let you plug your site, and I'm going to let you plug your site. And then I'm going to shut the show up for the week. But thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
Thank you for having me, Barry. And the site where Barry's talking about is themythiscanada.ca or themythiscanada.com.
All right. You can catch me on Facebook, Against the Grain News You're Not Supposed to Know. And if you Google my name, Jürgen Wallrath, you'll find a lot of interesting stuff, all the movies I've been in and all kinds of various things I've done in my life, interviews I've done and all sorts of things. So cheerio, Barry. Thanks for having me on. And great to talk with you, Doug.
Pleasure to meet you, too. Thank you, Jürgen.
Likewise, my friend.
Well, there you go, folks. Well, I've enjoyed the conversation today, guys. You guys are some of my favorite people to talk to. And Roger Landry, the first hour, he's like always one of my favorite guys. So I've enjoyed the show immensely. Had a few laughs, had a few tears. I hope we've made some really good points for people to kind of roll around in their brain here for the next couple of days. that, you know, that we're in a time now, we kind of knew that this time was coming, but we're all kind of in shock that it's here, but in the same mouthful, I'm not. We knew their agenda years ago, and now we're seeing it really play. There's no excuse for us not to be able to see what's going on in front of us anymore, guys. And really, I said earlier in the show, the one thing that drives me every day is I can walk into a grocery store now, and I can look at a child, and I can almost break into tears. When I see what's coming for that child, I know the future, if we don't stop this, is very, very bleak for that child. And it's what drives me every day. I love people. I love my kids. I love my family. I love all people, and I don't want to see us suffer. But that's what's going to happen if we turn our back on what's going on right now in our society. So more now than ever, it's important that we all get involved with whatever we can, any aspect of our lives, to stop this madness. Talk with your neighbors, share your friends, share this information with your friends, open your hearts to them. And let's connect and stop this crap, because it's driving me nuts. That's all I can say. Thanks for coming in today, guys. And thanks to Steve Roberts, always, for producing those shows. Thanks to PIR. For producing them, and Shake and Wait for giving me a platform. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you, and bye for now.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.